the one narrative of the whole Bible in a different way. When I was a kid, my dad had a toolbox in the garage. Actually, to call it a toolbox isn't quite right. Dad's was a Snap-on toolbox. Anybody with me? Yeah, it was so tall that even now, if I want to get the socket wrenches on the top, I've got to reach over my head or get a stail. It was wide enough I could hug his toolbox. And I mention that because if I was going to do a project at the home, I would call Pastor Hedke to help me. And I think that that's the state of the church in America today. I think that's the state of most Christians. We have this toolbox, this history, this whole system filled with tools to understand our life, to understand Scripture. But most of us can't do a basic drywall project. So let's play a game. Go ahead and direct your attention to the screen. Where's Waldo? Can you find him? You found him? By the way, John, I did the same sermon on Wednesday night. There's so many of you that came to both. I'll do a different one this Wednesday night. We were going to try to just make it a similar service so people could come back. But hello, Zoomers. We'll be on Zoom as well. Wednesday night this week will be different because Pastor Hedke's over here. Pastor Scott's over here. I'm going to get you guys straight. You're both so good looking, I get confused. We're going to do a different sermon because the text Scott picked was just, oh, I got to preach on that one Wednesday night because it's amazing. So Sunday and Wednesday will be different. But where's Waldo? John sent me afterwards. This is so much easier. They released one. Just Google it. Where's Waldo Social Distancing Edition? It's so easy. But that's Waldo. To find Waldo in that crowd, red and white striped shirt, the hat with the ball on the top, the glasses, the cane, the blue jeans, you gotta find him. Most of us, who's played this game before? Okay. Yeah, you're in the doctor's office, you're looking at it. Somebody did a PhD on Where's Waldo and found an algorithm. Check it out. If you look at it, that's the algorithm. What they found out is you can find Waldo really, really quickly if you have the right tool. See, if you start here, Waldo will never be up in the blue zone because in the book edition, you have to put the actual printed words and they'd go over it. If you start in that bottom right-hand corner and he's not there, you follow the black line. You go over, you go up, you go over, you go down. 90%+ of the time, he'll be right along that line. So I should apologize to you. I just gave you a tool, and now when you're at the hospital waiting room, it's going to take forever because you're going to make it through the book in 4 minutes. Let's try it. Everybody got the algorithm? Go ahead and click to the next slide. Can you find him? Follow the line. Yep, there he is. Go ahead and circle him for me if you don't mind. Thanks, Christian. It's a little bit harder up here, but when you have the right tool, it makes everything easier. It's been 2020, hasn't it? Can I get an amen to that? See, when I started 2020, I was ready to preach, and I never got a chance to on the 2020 vision. And then 2020 happened. Let me tell you about my sabbatical. I want to just give you a little quick, my sabbatical. It started off here. It was amazing. The first week, Trish and I went down to Nashville, Tennessee, and we ended up staying at Tulane's guest house, and we had no clue. We just wanted to get away as a couple for a weekend. Anybody heard of Mike Wolff? He has this TV show called American Pickers. This is his place. I had no clue. Jerry, you'll love this. The stuff he loves and doesn't want to auction, he puts here and just lets people stay here. It's amazing. Trish and I just had this great time of relaxation and reconnection as a couple. And then I sent off on my hike. And this was the next place I visited. See, I had planned this hike. I had planned a 700-mile walk. I had trained for over a year for this walk. But the difference between the Camino de Santiago and Kentucky in August is water. And all the little filling stations and all the little places I had planned every 3 miles to refill my water were closed. Keep them in your prayers. I don't think they'll recover. They'd been boarded up since February, but that also meant there was no access to water. And so what the doctor told me after I was rescued by this amazing lady named Tess, who's a friend of a friend who's a friend, who showed up and just said, "I brought Gatorade," took me to the emergency room, and they ran blood work and told me my electrolytes were off so bad that they had to hook up an EKG before they started rehydrating me, because if they would have rehydrated me too quick, my heart would have stopped. And so I spent the next 3 weeks, rather than traveling Spain, sitting in my bedroom. Now, when you have a high like that and a low like that, it's really, really easy to start going, "Hey, where's Jesus in all of this?" Or is that just me? It's really, really easy to sit there and go, "Hey, God, where are you?" A few weeks later, after 3 weeks in my bedroom alone, we did get to take the girls to Disneyland. This is the picture there. And anybody watching Mandalorian on Disney Plus? Yeah, those are the Ahsoka Tano shirts. And yes, they did get to make lightsabers. And yes, that is the real... that's just a prop. But we spent 2 weeks there and just had a great time. And when we came back, Trish and I realized that Europe would be off the table. We were still supposed to go to London. And so we canceled that and just did a whole bunch more bed and breakfasts. And then on October 20th, we took a trip here. Adeline went to Parkview, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her, and 8 days later, they took her down to Riley, where she still is, and they still don't have a clue what's wrong with her. It's another one of those great experience, really bad experience. And it's scary, but I learned to pray in a whole new way. And so, of course, that brings us to the question, where is God in all of this? How do you find God when you're in the tough spots? How do you find God when you're in the high spots? Well, I'd suggest that we look at the Gospel of John. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. And those on Zoom, I know you have them because you're at home. It's good to see you guys. I'm looking up there. You guys are right there now. I cannot wait to see you someday and actually break bread together. But if you got your Bibles, open up to John 1. John wrote it this way. When he tells the narrative, when he tells the event of Christmas, here's how he throws it down. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. By the way, that's John the Dipper, John the Baptizer, not the dude that's writing this book. He came to witness and to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light, which enlightens everybody, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, that's how John tells the event, because John lives in a real culture, in a real place, in a real time. And we miss it because we're not pulling from the same toolbox as John did. See, John was pulling from a Bible O-N-E, one narrative of events, context, and everybody knew it. And so when he said, in the beginning, where did everybody naturally go? Genesis, yeah. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, go ahead and flip there, because this just gets too good. See, what John is pointing out, because it's really easy. Anybody, any Taylor Swift fans out there? No? Oh, she has this great line in it. Sorry, my shoe's untied, so I'm going to be super awkward and just go ahead and tie it. Scott said it was okay to be awkward, that you guys gave him permission, so we're going to be awkward. Taylor Swift has this great line about somebody in the hospital, and she says, holy orange bottles. Oh, I pray to you. People in crisis find faith, and so I pray to Jesus too. Yeah, you've been there, that you've had that friend who's never had that moment, and so all of a sudden Jesus pops up, because sometimes the narrative we tell, the story we tell, I'm using story there, the story we tell is Jesus was a late player in the game. But in Genesis, check this out. Go ahead and click to the next slide if you don't mind. In Genesis, it says this, and I'm going to give you a tool. This is blueletterbible.com. It's an amazing resource. But it says, the Bible starts off this way. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now in Hebrew, if you look on the actual Blue Letter Bible, it says the word God, but over there in the right, even if you don't know Hebrew, it says HN, that means Hebrew noun, CMPA. The P stands for plural. So you've got a noun that's plural. Now in Hebrew, it's one of these languages where if you have a plural, if you have two people doing things, then the verb has to be put in plural too. Right? In English, we don't do this. If I'm drinking my coffee, it's the same as if Lauren and Michael are drinking their coffee. Hey, you grew your hair out. It looks good. See, that was just to Lauren. Michael did not grow his hair out, but it still looks good. If they're drinking their coffee, drinking, the verb would actually change. Everybody tracking? See, they know this because it's Hebrew. It's in their toolbox. But it says this, in the beginning, God created. If you look over to the created, it says HV, that's Hebrew verb, MS, masculine singular. Somehow you have this plural God doing a singular action. And the question that the Hebrews naturally asked is God plural or is God singular? See, this isn't a new addition. The Trinity isn't a new thing. All the way back then, they said, is God plural or is God singular? And by the way, the answer is yes. So you have this God who is a creator. By the way, any dads there out here? We got any dads in the house? Hey, when did you become a dad? What made you a dad? Yeah, having a child. You made something. Okay, I was hoping you'd get that connection. Creator, a.k.a. Father. Let's click to the next line. See, John is riffing on Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God. God, masculine, plural, Spirit, feminine, singular. Huh. So is God male or is God female? Yeah. Like it's a whole nother level. Is God masculine or plural? God is bigger than our minute brains can wrap around it. But then this is where it gets crazy dope. Can you say dope in church? Are we allowed to say that, Scott? I know you gave me a list of words that bugged you that sounded like I was trying to be school. Was dope one of them? Okay, sorry, this isn't dope. This is amazing. This is transcendent. This is beautiful. And God, everybody now, masculine. No, masculine, plural. Said, just guess. Masculine, singular. By the way, You won't get this because you're adults. You've somehow along the way we've stopped how to think. But when I ask the kids this, they get this right every time. What do we say? I heard it. Words. Yeah, we say words. Everything we say is words. And God said, and every time God says something, something is created. And what does John tell us? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. See, this Jesus fellow, what John is getting at here is Jesus has been around since the beginning. See, when we're looking for Jesus, the way to start is we start at the beginning. Because Jesus has been here from the beginning. And if Jesus was here from the beginning and incarnate at Christmas time, I'll give you a hint, next week he shows up at the end too. And if he's through the whole line of the Bible, if there is one crimson thread, one crimson cord weaving the Bible together, then would that crimson cord not also be weaving in your life during the good times and during the bad times? Actually read the Bible. There is some crazy stuff going on in it. And Jesus is still showing up in that. My prayer for us at Promise is that we learn to use this toolbox, yes, so that we can see where Jesus is weaving in our life, and even more so that that can overflow and we can show our friends who are just having a 2020 where Jesus is. See, it's going to look like magic at first. But once you understand how it's done, it's just amazing. It's not magic anymore. Emily, do you remember what the card was on Wednesday night? Two of diamonds, that's right. Somebody picked the two of diamonds. What's that on the bottom? Queen of Hearts, okay. Two of diamonds, right? And we said that was the Jesus card in this deck. Jesus card in this deck is two of diamonds. Why? One thing you got to know about Jesus is two persons. Whole God, whole man. Is Jesus God or man? Yes. Diamonds, I say, because Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Hey, Tim, tell me when to stop. See, because you know Tim won't set anything up with me. If he wanted to make me look bad, he would. I've been away for 4 months and you haven't got your shot. Go ahead, tell me when to stop. Stop? What's that? Two diamonds. When you cut, you see the two of diamonds. You could have told me to stop here, right? You could have told me to stop here. You told me to stop here. See, when we learn to look, we learn to see Jesus showing up everywhere. Let me try it this way. I'm just going to take a stack, put it there. Take a stack, put it there. I'm going to take a stack, put it there. I'm going to take a stack, put it there. We got four stacks. One, two, three, four. Who says we should pick one? None of you. Who says we should pick two? Man, you're quiet this morning. Who says we should pick three? Okay, we got some votes for three. Who says we should pick four? Okay, so it's between two and three. So we'll just do this by a good old yell. Moving one and four. We can pick two, we can pick three. Who wants to pick two? You got to say woo. Okay, who wants to pick three? You got to say woo. Oh, that was about a tie. Who should I pick? No, who should I pick? Like, there we go. We going two or three? Three. You could have picked any of these four. I'm picking three right here. Everybody agree this is three? Oh, wow, what do you know? How do we learn to see Jesus everywhere? How do we learn to see what Jesus is doing in the good times, in the bad times? The easy way is we go back to Scripture and we see how he's woven all the way through it. Now, everybody think. Right, I'm going to shuffle them. You tell me when to stop shuffling. Everybody think. Everybody think. Jesus, we want to see Jesus high and lifted up. Right? We sing that every now and again. Okay? Just think. Okay? You saw that Jesus was down here. You saw he was down there. Boom. How do we learn to find Jesus in the good times, in the bad times? We use the tools that he's given us. We go back to that narrative of the Bible time and time and time again. By the way, if you want to know how this is done, come back next week. I'm not a magician, so I'm allowed to tell you how the trick's done. Let's pray. God, let us see you in the good times, in the bad times, in the struggles, in the successes. God, when we feel like tapping out and giving up because it has been a year that it just doesn't make sense, or when we're rejoicing because everything is lining up, God, let us see you. God, bring hope and healing as we remember your incarnation, as we remember that you came and lived and died so that we can be with you face to face forever. God, let us see the opportunities to share this with our friends, with our family, with our coworkers, with our brothers and sisters who aren't seeing you at this moment. God, continue to shape us and mold us. God, thank you for the children that are here and the amazing way they told the narrative, the event of your birth. And God, continue to just bind us together, even as we, in one voice right now, scattered throughout the city of Fort Wayne and actually throughout America, join in praying that perfect prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.